The need of the hour in the church is supernatural power. The most important thing in a Christian's life. How many of you are saved here tonight? Raise your hand, say amen. The most important thing in your life, if you just raised your hand and told the truth, the most important thing in your life is understanding the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Outside of anything else in your life, it's more important than your education. It's more important than going to church on Sunday morning. It's more important than raising your children correctly. The most important thing in the believer's life is understanding the power of the Holy Spirit within our life and living under that anointing and that unction. So, well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit or not. Well, I can help you with that. I'll give you two tests. You pass this test, you're walking in power. Number one, how do you respond under pressure? If you're walking in the flesh, you will defend yourself and do the best the flesh can. But if you respond in grace under pressure, you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I got ready to come to church tonight, and my wife says to me, I do not know how you do Sunday morning at Olive Baptist Church. I said, what are you talking about? She said, just the people that come to me to tell me to tell you to fix this. She said, how do you deal with that? That's pressure. That's the pressure of my job. Because I come here on Sunday morning and there's a bunch of folks and things going on, and I'm looking for guests I invited on Friend Day, and we're making sure that we're juggling all this stuff over here, and we got it going. And then, oh yeah, by the way, I've got to take 35 to 37 minutes and do an exposition of a passage I believe God's laid on my heart, and then give the invitation and draw the net. And then you got folks coming up and say, well, you know, Pastor, the new carpet, I just don't know. I don't. I didn't choose that. I didn't do that. Looks good to me. Doesn't smell too hot right now, but we get over that, all right? At least it's fresh. It's good. Well, you know, preacher, if you could just move this over here. That's my job. And dear friend, if you respond in the flesh, you'll get angry, you'll lash out, you'll get mad. Number one test, if you're walking in the power, is how you respond under pressure. Why, anybody can walk in the Holy Ghost when there ain't nothing bad going on, when it's all peaches and cream. Number two test is how do you respond at home? In Ephesians 5, verse 18, where Paul said, do not be drunk with wine. Now, there's a whole sermon there, but that's not for tonight. Do not be drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. What he says is just like some people are controlled by alcohol, you be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The way inebriation brings you under control, the Spirit of God is to fill you and control you. And he places that verse in Ephesians 5:18, and right after that, he goes on the longest discourse in all of Scripture about the home. Husbands and wives and leadership and submissive and children being obedient. He goes on the longest discourse in all of the Word of God right after he teaches on the Holy Spirit. How you respond to pressure. Number two, how you respond at home. Don't come to church and throw your hands up and wave and holler and shout and fall on your face and then go home and live like a devil. The test is not how you do it in the church house. The test is how you live under the pressure of your residency and how you love that woman God's put in your life and how you rear those children that God's put in your life and how you discipline them and how you walk in submission, how you walk in obedience. That is when you find the power of the Holy Spirit within your life. The test is under pressure. The test is under your own roof. When you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now Barnabas, over in chapter 11, verse 24 of Acts, the Bible says about Barnabas three things. He was a great guy, great encourager, and the Bible says three things about Barnabas. Barnabas was, in Acts 11, 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. Our churches are in trouble because we are only, most of the time, good men. Good men are killing the local church. Thank God for good men. I'd rather have good men's bad men. But if good men's all we got, we're no better than the Kiwanis Club. Good men do good things. Men full of the Holy Spirit and faith do supernatural things. That's why Barnabas got his name in the book. Because he went out and he found Paul that everybody hated and were scared of, because he was a murderer, gotten saved, and Barnabas went and found him and brought him into the church and said, this guy's gold, love on him. He also found Mark. You remember Mark? Mark was the one they went on the first missionary journey, and Mark got homesick. Mark quit. And when they got ready to go on the third missionary journey, Barnabas said, let's take Mark, and Paul said, I wouldn't take him to a dog fight. I ain't taking Mark. And so Paul took Silas. And old Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, said, okay, I'll take Mark. And you never hear from them again. They are done. You only hear about Paul and Silas going off. But there's one little report that bubbles up out of Barnabas and Mark. The second gospel. Matthew, Mark. As a matter of fact, it's not the second gospel. It's only the second gospel in chronological order. It is the first gospel written. The earliest account was Mark's account. And I believe that had not Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, full of power, taken Mark and brought him along and taken him wherever they went, I don't believe Mark would have been ready to write the first gospel. That's placed second chronologically. You see, supernatural acts come through men and women filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You shall receive influence? No. You shall receive good work? Not necessarily. You shall receive dunamis, power, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I get this a lot. There'll be people, matter of fact, I was in the doctor's office the other day, and there was a gentleman in there. He's a Assembly of God preacher, and he's retired, and his father's 96, and he was taking this guy was almost 70, and he was taking his 96-year-old father into the hospital, and or into the doctor's office, and I was sitting there waiting my turn, and he came over to me, and he said, we come to your church. I said, well, praise the Lord. Who are you? I didn't know him. And he said, well, I pastor, and he told me all these years, and then he said, and my daddy before me was Assembly of God preacher, and we like your church, and we come. I said, well, good. And I said, why do you come? And he said, well, we sense that the Spirit of God is at work in your church, and we like that, and there's the Spirit of God is at work there. I said, good, amen. You know, and it's almost like a backhanded compliment when people, they'll say to you, you preach like a Pentecostal. Well, I preach like a Baptist, all right? See, if I preach like a Pentecostal, I would believe you could get saved today and lost tomorrow. So I don't preach like a Pentecostal, nor do I jump over that pew. I used to could. But I understand what they mean, that there's fire involved in that. Well, that's good. Every Baptist ought to have that. Because we believe in Pentecost. But you speak truth in love. It's both sides. There's spirit and truth that you put together, and you grow up. And so in our lives, we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, so there is power. So tonight, I want to tell you there are five things that you need in your life to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. I want to give you these five. I want to encourage you to write them down. You say, I don't want to write them down. I am demanding and commanding you as your under-shepherd to write these five things down. Now, that's preaching like a Pentecostal there, because they run the church, all right? No, seriously, I just want to encourage you. You might want to remember these because you probably don't need them, but you'll run into somebody this week that needs them, all right? So write these five things down. Here we go. How do I walk in power? Number one, examine yourself for sin. Examine yourself for sin. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. In 2 weeks, we're going to come to the Lord's Supper table right here on a Sunday night. It's going to be a little different. And for all of my deacons that are here, we want to do something for you all. The staff is going to serve the Lord's Supper that night. And we want to serve the deacons that night. And we want to let you participate. Where most of the time you have to work, we want to let you participate, and we'd like to serve this one time and help you with that. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we always quote this verse, let a man examine himself, and in so doing, eat the bread and drink of the cup. When you come to the Lord's Supper table, let a man examine himself. What should you examine yourself for when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit? Check yourself for sin. Ask yourself these things. Number one, is Christ being glorified in my life? Number two, am I walking in joy, in a joyful, submissive spirit? Now get all of those words. I know a lot of people walking in a submissive spirit, but there's no joy. A joyful, submissive spirit. And then ask yourself if the Holy Spirit traits, the traits of the Holy Spirit are in your life. Examine yourself. They are found in Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 22. And I'm going to turn over here and read them because in different translations, they're different ways. But I want you to think there are 9 of them, so don't miss these. Are these things in your life? You ought to look at your life and examine yourself. Galatians 5:22. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is this, love, joy, peace, patience. Now, I'm just telling you, if I'm not full of Jesus, I can't do that. I am not a patient man. Can I get a witness? I am not. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Beth Harris, my administrative assistant, she's here tonight. She'll witness that I have conquered self-control in our office. And as I told a lady last week, you go to hell for lying just like you will stealing, all right? No, I've not conquered self-control, because if the Holy Spirit does not conquer me, I want to be in control of everything I do. Until I had eye surgery 3 times in the last years, I used to play golf every Thursday that came that I was in town. I took my day off and I went to play golf. And I will never forget the day that I was playing. And I always played with 3 or 4 guys that were usually early retirees, because they were off on Thursday and we could go and we had fun and they'd buy lunch. But I will never forget the day when I loaded my stuff on the cart and one of the retirees looked at me and said, I know you want to drive. I said, well, I do. He said, you want to drive everything. I'll never forget it. I said, what do you mean? He said, Pastor, you just want to be in charge. You want to run everything. I said, well, give me the keys then and get over there and sit down. You see, that self-control, gentleness, it didn't come natural. And for most of us, it does not come natural. But there is a power that can bring self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, even goodness, love, joy, peace into your life. Examine yourself. Lord, are these spiritual traits in my life? Do I glorify Christ in all I do? Is there a joyful, submissive spirit within me? And are the 9 spiritual traits of the fruit of the Spirit, are they in my life? Examine yourself for sin, and you're well on your way to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Number 2, if you want to be filled with the power of God, secondly, confess all known sin. Confess it. Now watch this. If you have sinned against John, and John knows it, and you've offended him, your confession needs to be both to the Father and to John. But if you have sinned against John, but John has not a clue about it, and telling him would not be of any benefit, I'm telling you that I do not believe that that confession has to come to him, only to the Father. But if you sinned against your brother, then that confession needs to be both unto the Lord and to the offended party. If you want to be full of Jesus, full of power, confess all known sin. Where have you got to check yourself? Under pressure. That's where sin normally comes. Under your own roof at your resident home, that's where it normally comes. And when you learn to say to your spouse and your children, I was wrong. The wind of God will blow at your house. It will, I just promise you. It's one of the toughest days of a parent's life, the first time they have to say to a child, I'm sorry, it was me, not you, I was wrong. And you know, parents do sin. Grandparents don't, but parents sin. Okay? We do. And when your grandkids get older, even grandparents sin. And there are times we have to say, I was wrong. There are times we need to come in confession unto the Father and unto the offended party. And when we do, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God so comes in that transparency when we do that. Now, I want you to look in your Bible at 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. Sharon, did I? Yeah, here it is. Here's this verse. Look at this. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You are a vessel, and you need to prepare that vessel for honor. And when you cleanse yourself, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. And when he cleanses us, the vessel is prepared for honor. The honorable thing is for the Spirit of God to live in us and to work through us. Number 1, examine yourself. Number 2, then confess all known sin. Number 3, the third step in this fullness practice is to submit yourself completely to God, in complete submission to the Lord. Romans 6, verses 11, 12, and 13. Look at this. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are to present ourselves unto the Lord. Sharon, go back to verses 11 and 12 in that text. Look at this on the front side of Romans 16, verses 11 and 12. Consider yourself be what? Dead to sin, but alive unto Christ. I've shared this with you guys scores of times, what Dr. Rogers taught me years ago is what I do. I did it this morning. I try to do it every day of my life and beginning my life, especially for preaching, but for anything of my day, I try to begin this way. Hands up, praise the Lord. Just give him glory and honor. Give him praise. Boy, in the morning when I start, I'll praise him for a full house today and for what great things went on this morning, lives that were changed. If you weren't here at 11 o'clock, there was an extra sense of obedience. When I asked people to ask someone to come forward with them if they wanted, and boy, just there was another wave of people that came. And I'm telling you, at 9:30 today, there was the glory of God sat down, and lives were changed, and people came to get right with God. It was just a good day. I'll praise him. I give him glory. It's what Adrian said to do every time. Put your hands out like this. Then he said, move your arms out like this, and just say, Lord, I die to myself. Dead. My prayer every morning is, Lord, I praise you, and then I want to be dead to Ted. That's what I say every morning. Dead to Ted. It's dead to me. Dead to sin. Dead to the flesh. And then, Lord Jesus, I receive your unction. I receive your fullness. Oh, God, fill me. Fill me. Praise, death to sin, receiving the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, fill me and flood my life. God, come. And I pray just like a man who would be filled with wine, that I'd be filled with new wine, so that your Spirit would speak to me and I'd hear you and I would react and act in the proper way. Submit yourself completely to God. You know why we don't submit ourselves? Psalm 78:8 says, the reason we do not submit ourselves is because of our stubborn and rebellious spirit. And don't be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. If you're not going to yield to God, it's because you'll have a stubborn and a rebellious spirit. And boy, that rises in me. Doesn't it rise in you? Bless God, I can do it. You don't believe it, just try me. Come up here and ask me. God just has a way of going, and you fall over. But it's easy to have that stubborn and rebellious spirit rise up in you and say, oh, I can't. Won't be a man. It's good to be a man. It's better to be a man of God under the control of the Spirit of God. Stubborn and rebellious. We must submit ourselves in every area of our life. Now, there's what I call the big six. Everybody prays about the big six. We want to get into submission about the big six. Here they are. After I graduate high school, what college am I going to? Number one, where am I going to go get my education? For high schoolers, it's what classes am I going to take this semester? So our education, college. Number two, vocation. What is it I should do with my life? What then is my major and what will be the area of study? Am I going to be a... Isn't it amazing when you ask kids what they want to be? They rarely grow up. I remember asking Bennett. Bennett, you in here tonight? He was coming. I don't know if I saw him. Bennett always, he wanted to be a fireman or drive a garbage truck. He just thought that was really cool, you know? And so we look, it's just weird how kids think about it. But then when you get up to school, then it really gets serious. What's my vocation? And you pray about that. Lord, what do you want me to do? Number one, where we go to school. Secondly, is our vocation. Number three, who you want me to marry. We all pray about that. Well, evidently some people don't, but I mean, it everybody should. Amen? Lord, who you want me to spend my life with? Marriage. Number four, where do you want me to live? What is my location? Lord, should I be in Pensacola? Should I be in Atlanta? Should I go to Alaska? Should I go to Mexico? Lord, where do you want me to live? Number five is, where should I work? Should I work for the Santa Rosa school system, or should I stay in Escambia County? Should I work for Gulf Power? Should I go over here and work at this? Lord, where do you want me to work? And number six, the big six, is, Lord, where do you want me to go to church? You want me a part of Olive? You want me to go to this church? Or should I be over here at this church? Or where should I be? And so we all pray about what I call the big six: college, vocation, marriage, where I live, my location, my vocation, then of the work and job that I should have, and number six is the church. Now, that's great. But now, watch this. A spirit-filled believer doesn't just submit the big six. They submit even the small things under the hand of God. Lord, what should I do? You ever shop? And you shop and you're in the store and you're just buying, you know, and everything's just fine, there's no problem. And then all of a sudden you reach to get something and there's just a check in your spirit. Happens to me. You say, well, God doesn't care about that. He did. Sometimes I believe in my own life that God tests me in that. And he just, you know, you really don't need that. You can afford that, but you don't need that. That'd be sick. You ought to just walk away from that. You have 15 shirts hanging in the closet. And it's just like the Spirit of God just whoop, whoop. That's why, you know, the Lord doesn't care about that. And I get up to the counter, and man, I'm just, ooh. It's just like the Spirit of God is just saying, I'm just trying to teach you, son. Just be obedient. He knows more than we know. And when he spends that check in your spirit, you ought to back up. And when he gives liberty, you ought to go forward. Because I'm telling you, there's something larger than buying a shirt coming. And if you won't obey him when there's a check in your spirit about the small things, you won't obey him about the big things. Now, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to bring out of our planning committee a group to help us plan a new building for middle schoolers. And with that is going to come a fundraising program. And in that fundraising program, over and above our tithe and offering, we're going to ask this church to spend some time in prayer and fasting to say, okay, above what you normally give, what would God have you do? I give a certain percentage of my income now unto the Lord. I stayed in the tithe for a long time. God's blessed, and I'm able to move past that now. But this morning, I just by faith, I wrote in that line on my envelope, because I'm still old-fashioned. I didn't go online. I wrote a check. And I gave for the first time in 4 years to the building, because I'd given everything I'd played. But I wrote in there. I just said, okay, Lord, show me what you want me to do, because I know we're going to get in this building program, and unless somebody comes up and pays for the whole thing, then you're going to ask all of us to get involved. So I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And so I gave this morning for the first time in a long, long time just to the building issue and said, well, we'll go ahead and put some money in there. We'll start that. And we're going to ask everybody to consider what would God have, and what we're asking you to do is to submit yourself to the Spirit of God in the area of finance. Now, you understand, if everybody in this church gave a tithe, we wouldn't even have to have that program. What? Just trust you, Pastor. I'm just telling you, if everybody gave a tenth, we wouldn't even have to have a building campaign. We'd have to come in here and pray and fast about what to do with the income. It's the truth. Yeah. But these building things stretch us and help us to get to the place that we submit ourselves to God. Number four, y'all are listening slowly tonight, but number four, ask to be filled. Just ask the Lord. Lord, fill me. Luke 11:13. The Bible says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, what's it say? Ask him. Lord, fill me. I praise you. Dead to dead. Lord, I receive. Fill me today. Fill me for the doing of your will. Just ask him. Ask him. Don't be scared. Ask him. You will be amazed what God will want to do when he fills you with the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing journey. And then last, believe you are filled and thank him. Just believe it and thank him. Romans 14:23. The Bible says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he's eating. His eating is not from faith, but whatever is not from faith is sin. Just believe. Believe that God has filled you, and then go out and live, as Galatians 5 tells us. Go out and live and walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go out and live and walk in the fullness of God's power and his Holy Spirit, believing that you are filled. 1972, senior in high school, member of Pisgah Baptist Church since I was 10 years old, and God did something in my life. He began to call me to surrender. I said, Lord, I don't understand. It was the first time I'd ever understood the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Well, I was so immature and green. And you know, the first thing that happens in immaturity with the Holy Spirit is emotion. And you want to shout. And that's good. God knows the Baptist church needs a little shouting in it. See, you won't even say amen when I even say shout. I mean, you know. Because we're reserved. And that's okay. Some of us, that's our personality. But it's all right. But the first immature response to the Spirit is emotion. And that's okay. It's better than a dead response. But when you grow out of immaturity into a maturation process, it's not emotion, it's truth. With a joyful submissiveness. People who for the first time begin to understand the power of God in their life, they get this arrogance that almost makes you hear them say, I'm better than you because I got it. It's got me. Look what I'm doing. And then it leads. The Spirit of God in maturation always takes you to a joyful submissiveness. That's where that maturation comes in. Begins mostly out of an emotion, and that's not bad. I love it when I see that begin to happen in people's lives, and they get happy. But then they settle, and God begins to bring that joyful submissiveness in their life. I learned it when I was 18 for the first time. It was an emotional thing for me, and I wanted everybody to get it. And I was, you know, aggravating people that I was just saying, man, y'all ought to get with it. You living in the flesh. You carnal goat. I mean, you know, just arrogant. Hey, I can't change you, but the Spirit of God can. And so if I'll learn joyful submissiveness and to take your name to the Father, God has a way of changing you that I don't have to beat you over the head and try to change you myself. This works with children. Amen. You got to take a firm line and stand. But I'm telling you, God can discipline even better than you can. Boy, my wife prayed for our kids. She's prayed them into more misery than I could beat into them. God, just make them so miserable they'll puke when they get in there. Man, I've heard her pray. They come home sick and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's just got a way of move if you'll be in submissiveness unto, and the Spirit of God. Well, he wants to do a work. He really does. But he's looking for a vessel of honor that is completely sold out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here's what we're going to do. Alan's going to come and we're going to sing this last song. And this last song is a song of praise and glory to the Father. But there are people here tonight that need to come and say, Pastor, ooh, I need to come publicly tonight in submissiveness unto the Lord. I need to come asking God to fill me. Some of you here are without Christ. You couldn't raise your hand when I said, how many of you could raise your hand and say amen, you're saved? You're not saved. You need to come and get saved tonight and give your life to Christ. Then this is a hymn of invitation as well as a time of praise that we give unto the Father. And I'm going to be just standing down here at the front, and I'm going to be worshiping and giving praise to the Lord. But if you need to come and kneel right here, that'll be good. If you need to come and have somebody pray over you and with you, we'll be right here to help you. I'm here. Brother John's here. Robert's over on this side. Brother John, others that are here, we'll be glad to help you. Some of our lay folk be glad to pray with you. Some of you have never asked that God fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'd challenge you tonight to get out of your seat and walk to the front and just say, Lord, I surrender everything I have unto you, and I ask you, God, for the first time, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we read that verse. If your earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I understand when we're saved, we have the Spirit of God within us. Nobody saved doesn't have the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of his, says Romans. I understand that. But Paul also says we walk according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. And so there needs to be this fullness, this surrender, where God comes washing in our life. If you've just never come in that kind of, I just challenge you to come and say, oh God, fill me this night. I've just come in surrender, and Lord, create a joyful submissiveness. Wouldn't it be a great place to be a member if all the members of Olive walked in joyful submissiveness? Wow. Now I could get cranked up about pastoring a church like that. And that's what God has for all of us, and what he desires is to move us into that kind of thing. If we could just get the pastor to walk in it, we'd be way down the street. Amen. I surrender all unto the Father.